Father, this morning we come to you with hearts open to your word. I pray that you would speak to us and that you would draw us into you, giving us yourself in answer to prayer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I prayed for my dad for nearly 20 years. Less, really, because I hate to admit it, but there was a point that I stopped praying. I loved my dad. I learned a lot from my dad. And after I became a Christian at 18, I started praying for my dad. And we invited him to church, but he would have nothing of it. He had made his peace with God, whatever that meant. And I won't go into all the gory details, but our life was less than ideal. And there were times that I just wanted my dad to leave. Then at 67, and facing a massive heart surgery, my dad shocked all of us by announcing that he had put his faith in Christ. And he was truly transformed. And I remember, aside from the shock, the joy, the confusion of this new normal of my dad actually loving Jesus and like wanting to hear the Bible every conscious moment, there was a little bit of shame because I had pretty much given up on my dad. But the Lord had not, and neither had my mom. This morning's gospel is about perseverance in prayer. And now perseverance in anything, especially concerning prayer, is just hard work. There are many rivalries to prayer. Self-sufficiency, doubt, shame. For me, it's all of these things, including the demands of a busy life and everything that is a distraction. Like the disciples, sometimes we just simply don't know how to pray. I mean, you might have been taught as a child rudimentary skills about prayer, but we've just never had an opportunity as an adult to really grow and mature in prayer. Prayer is some sort of foreign language that we feel like we have to learn to be effective. And then there's another sermon like this, another sermon on prayer. And you get to the end, you go away, and you're feeling more guilty and more inadequate than ever. Well, here's the thing. It's okay. It's okay. Because we're all in the same boat. We all struggle with prayer. You take some time, ask our prayer team, people who have been called and anointed to pray. We all struggle with prayer. But you know what? It's okay. Because an infinite God who is so deep gives us no end to the depths that we can grow in this area. So a disciple comes to Jesus and he asks to be taught how to pray. This is a testimony to both the power and necessity of prayer that we find consistently in and out of the Gospels, Jesus in prayer to his Father. And his urgency impacted the disciples so much so that they came to him and they asked for help. Our growth in prayer begins with asking for help. The pattern for prayer that's given, it places the needs of ours and the needs of others directly in the context of God's sovereignty. We come as servants to the one who is in all, who has created all, who is over all. He is our king. He has the power to hear and respond, but he also has the sovereign right to answer how and when he pleases. So we come humbly, seeking his will and not seeking to impose our will upon him. And yet, the Lord chooses to work through the mystery of prayer. And not just like one-off prayers that we say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. Not just those type of prayers, but the perseverance of prayer. And so the disciples are taught to ask, to seek, and to knock. Asking implies first an awareness of the need and a humility to acknowledge that we need help. How many times have we been dealing with something in our lives and we just didn't take the time to ask? Ask God or somebody else to help us. We need to be aware of those needs and the willingness to ask, because we bear the responsibility to communicate and not be silent. The thing is, he knows our needs before we even ask. But we still must ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So if we have a need or we're burdened for the needs of others, we must bring them before the Lord in prayer. Asking, seeking. Seeking implies asking, but with both an expectation and action. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm confessing too much this morning. But I sometimes, maybe a lot of times, ask not expecting an answer necessarily. Somebody please nod your head. How do you do that? Or you know, we go to God and we say, oh God, please do this. We just don't really expect that we're going to get an answer. But seeking is being open and looking with expectation to the Lord's answer to our prayer. Because sometimes, here's the thing, sometimes the answer is right in front of us, but we don't see it because it's not what we were expecting or what we hoped for. Sometimes the answer involves our being active in the solution. Think of it this way. If you're praying for your own healing, you also need to be doing the work to live healthy. If you're praying for the needs of others, it may very well be that you have the opportunity to at least meet a portion of that need. Seeking involves looking actively for the answer to that prayer that may be right before you. There's asking, seeking, and then knocking. Knocking is asking plus acting plus persevering. So we are called to fervent prayer. We are called to prayer that believes even though it doesn't feel like anything's happening. How many people here have been in prayer or have felt that the prayers just don't go past the ceiling? All of us, right? Knocking is praying with perseverance. Even though it doesn't feel like something is happening, because sometimes it's in God's plan to wait 20 years to answer your prayers. In prayer, we submit ourselves to the will of God, trusting that He has our best at heart. And isn't that the rub? That's the problem, because sometimes, maybe more than we're willing to admit, it's difficult to believe that God has our best. There are times when relief doesn't come. That the answer is not healing, but loss. Sometimes God's answer involves more pain. See, this is why we're given Colossians. We look to that passage Because God is telling, or Christ, or, well, those two. But Paul is writing to the Colossians and he's telling them what God has done for them. We find a God who has gone to great lengths already on our behalf. While we were dead, He made us alive. He forgave all our sins, nailing them to the cross. We're raised with Christ through faith. In Christ, we have new life. He's already proven His love for us. And as He has done all these things, we can be confident that it is His will to hear and answer our prayers. And this is the significance of the rest of the gospel passage. See, God is more willing than an irritated neighbor. He is more willing than a good friend who would still get up in the middle of the night to help. He's more willing than a generous earthly father. Because if each one of them will answer, we surely can count on Christ to answer us because of His great love. And finally, there's a promise that comes with each command. The thing is, this is sometimes difficult for us to accept because many of us have gone before God begging. And where it's seemingly He's just not answered. But what are the answers that we are expecting in our asking and seeking and knocking? We are promised a response greater than even the answers that we are looking for. Because if you see it at the end of that, the passage in the gospel, we are promised the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, prayer is designed to drive us to God. When we bring our struggles, our fears, our concerns for others, we should ask for relief, yes. But in that struggle, Christ wants us to be closer to Him. He wants the things that drive us to our knees be the things that lead us to the Holy Spirit and the grace that He imparts. He is always present. Christ is near. He is in us. He is with us. And when we come to Him, persevering in prayer, He ultimately gives us the greatest answer that He could possibly give. And that is Himself.